God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. Want to thank everybody for tuning in today. So we have a big day today going on in Capitol Hill with Michael Horowitz taking the stand. Michael Horowitz is going to be before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's going to be speaking with none other than Lindsey Graham and a lot of other people like him. How's that make you feel? How does that make you feel that Lindsey Graham and Adam Schiff control your president, the one you voted for, and now Lindsey Graham, the guy who hates Trump the most in the Senate, he's the one that basically was on Allison Camerato and said, here's what he's selling, here's what he's buying, he's a xenophobe, he's a racist, he's a this, he's a that. Then the same guy, the same Lindsey Graham, cried in an interview when he said, there's no, God never created another better man than Joe Biden. So he did all that in the same, I think it was pretty much this, well, that was about the same week. But in this one interview, he did both of those things as well. And when you think about it, what is Adam Schiff, what is Lindsey Graham doing right now? Lindsey Graham is protecting Joe Biden, and he's protecting Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff shares the same weapons distributor from Ukraine, Igor Pasternak, that Lindsey Graham shares in terms of donations. Now, I've posted some things over the last few weeks, and what bothers me to no end is this. They're not going to go with censorship. You know, there's 10 congressmen that are advocating for censorship that happen to fall into whatever that is. You know, it's the same thing, really. None of this is punishable. None of this, there's nothing that Trump did that was illegal. Nothing. And every American knows it. And you know what? At this point, it doesn't even matter whether they impeach him or not impeach him. It doesn't matter to me because we need to hit the reset button, and anyone who puts a D moniker behind their name is an enemy of the country.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine that you could ever be a person that respects our country and be a member of the Nancy Pelosi, Ocasio-Cortez, Rashid Tlaib, Ilhan Omar party. Al Green party, Maxine Waters party. I would never want to be in a million years associated with those people, ever. So I would never do it. Now, anybody that is made their choice, and that's fine. It's America. It's a free country. They have every right. We're not going to do what Antifa does and take matters into our own hands and violate their physical safety in public like Antifa does. You know, I couldn't help but see the juxtaposition of Steve Scalise speaking at the podium after Nancy Pelosi yesterday and thinking to myself, the only victim on that stage was Steve Scalise. I mean, he was shot.
He was shot.
And to be left for dead, if not for his courage and all the other things. But he survived by the sheer grace of God.
And you know what? He doesn't talk about that very often, if you've noticed.
Yeah, but that was a Democrat going after a Republican congressman on a practice field, on a baseball field. And, you know, there he is, shot and wounded. There's the president giving a rally, filling up arena after arena and, you know, getting deals done, whether it's the USMCA. By the way, that USMCA is nothing but honey on a bitter pill. It's a joke. It's a farce. It's all a ruse. The Democrats are not doing any of that for you, the people. They're not. What they're doing is they're doing that for themselves because they're trying to seize power. But where I find myself to be feeling very uncomfortable today is that you're going to watch Lindsey Graham act like a boss when he's not a boss. He's a joke. He's a two-faced, corrupt politician, Lindsey Graham. And he's the best we got in the Senate. He's the best we got. Why is this guy always in charge when he's not to be trusted as far as anyone could throw him? Lindsey Graham and Adam Schiff are controlling the destiny and the fate and the future of our country together. And when asked yesterday, Lindsey Graham gave the answer, he's not going to subpoena or call any witnesses that run counter to the Democrats' best interests. So that means he's not going to call the Bidens and he's not going to call the Schiffs. And over the weekend with Maria Bartiromo, he said he's going to shut these things down early. And a lot of people missed it.
Yeah, they missed the idea that he was basically trying to tell the president that he knows what to do better than he does, the president does. He was trying to say to the president, look, if you can get to this point, stop. There's no need to go any further.
Right. You got to the point where we're going to go ahead and help you out. We're going to help you out. And we're going to help you. And what's going to happen in return is you're not going to get a voice. Mm-hmm. We're going to put a muzzle on you like a dog. We're going to put a muzzle on you and you're going to just shut your mouth. And basically, we're going to take over. And you'll be glad you did. Because if you don't, guess what? It may not go well for you. Now, that's where we are. We are at a place where a country like Ukraine, who does nothing but beg for money on a daily basis. I mean, year after year after year, what is this country? They always have their hand out. They got all kinds of natural resources. They could give free gas to their people. Yet all of a sudden, you know, because of one thing or another, because of our politics with Russia, they're supposed to be adversaries, but yet half the people in the parliament of Ukraine are pro-Russian. So I don't know. You know, Crimea was given, annexed back away from Ukraine because of the Ukrainian corruption. And they were like, you know what? We'd rather be with Mother Russia right now because Ukraine's a hot mess. And it was a hot mess thanks to the ambassadors and diplomats that made it so. Sergei Lyachenko was this anti-corruption officer in the member of parliament in Ukraine. He was in bed with Marie Yovanovitch and then George Kent and Bill Taylor and all these other ambassadors, these so-called diplomats that claim they know what they're doing. And this thing is a hot mess. Billions of dollars go up missing. Biden is controlling everything. His son's getting rich. I mean, you're sitting there and you're looking at Donald Trump and then you're looking at the Bidens and they got money falling out of their pocket and they're like, we didn't do it. I mean, just put that vision in your head. But Adam Schiff is controlling the impeachment process in the House and Lindsey Graham is one is going for Trump's jugular and the other is using his leverage as coercion over Trump. And meanwhile, you get this ruse of a Nancy Pelosi, who could barely string sentences together at this point. She sounds drunk every time she speaks. People are complaining about what's going on with her nose. Her face seems to be falling off because of all the plastic surgery. And these people are just, you know, mentally rotten, you know? You take a look at the whole Democrat bench. Jerry Nadler with his, you know, staple gun. You know, I mean, this guy is unhealthy. He can't even sit up straight or stay awake during a committee
hearing. And his eyebrow hearing. Always looks strange.
And his eyebrow seems to be falling.
He's got this perplexed look that's happening all the time.
But they're all, it's like a very old crowd of people that have been in power for way too long, that have manipulated the system, that are corrupt to high heaven, and they just won't let go of the reins.
That's why they call it cronyism. These people get into positions and they stay there for 40 years.
Right. But this is what we got in our country. We got to do better, folks. We have to do better at the polls. Now, the polls are looking great. I actually want to know this, and Leonore, maybe over the break we can look this up. But the idea would be, if for some reason Trump got impeached, mm-hmm. right, by the House, yep. no big deal. We right. got the Senate. Or do we? Because Lindsey Graham, you can't trust him, right? So what if the most unthinkable happened and the Senate gets paid off or bought off or they hear some sort of another rumor lie? And next thing you know, they decide they're going to rule that Trump's out. Now Pence is in. I wonder if Trump, who gets ousted by the swamp, could run for re-election or could run for another election. I would imagine that he could. Now that would be a good question. Because I guarantee you one thing. If Trump ran on the party called Trump, he would win in a landslide. But we should not let it get to the point where we're damaged and hurt as a country in order to get that message across.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with The Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I'm joined by Leonore Cravotta, who's going to save the day mm-hmm. and answer the question definitively. So what answer you got?
Yeah, so I found a source. It's called PolitiFact. And the question that was asked by some of their readers was, could Donald Trump be impeached, removed, and run for re-election? And the answer was it's possible. And this article came out on November 6th.
And PolitiFact is a liberal organization.
Yeah, so this article came out on November 6th. So basically, the answer is that according to the Constitution, it's clear about what the Senate can do when presented with a House-approved impeachment, according to Article 1, Section 3, Clause 7. So let me read this. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. So said another way, the Senate can vote to remove the president and to disqualify him from holding future office, but it will not necessarily be implemented. And they have precedents that have shown that certain judges have been removed from office and then have run again. You know, so the same thing could happen for the president.
Well, and then that's another thing too, because it's Chief Justice Roberts, the guy that sold out America on Obamacare, right? He's the guy in charge.
Right.
He's a Bush appointee. He's a Trump hater. He's a Bush guy. Okay. You know what I mean? And, he's been I guess he's a better judge than someone like a Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Justice Breyer or Sotomayor or Kagan. Those four radical lefties. But he is a swing voter, you know, on the Supreme Court. Just so happens that he represents the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, as Antonin Scalia yeah. represented the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and that's how they. So, if you represent the Fourth Circuit, that's the D.C. Court,
yeah.
Then you get to be the Chief Justice.
So, the example that I wanted to mention is Alcee Hastings, who got removed from the Senate from his judgeship in 1989, but he later won election to the U.S. House, where he's continuing to serve. So it can happen. You can be reinstated in another office, even if you're impeached.
Another
or
office
or the same office. It could
happen. I guess the 46th president, he would be the, instead of running consecutive, right, 45 and 45, yeah. he would still be 45. There, you would probably see the first person to ever be 45 and 46.
Well, exactly.
That's how that would probably go down.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is that that's another valid point is as long as he's not exceeding the amount of time, the right. length of term.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, folks, there would be a revolt in this country like there's never been seen before. And these stupid politicians, and that's what Trump called them last night in Hershey. I mean, basically, they're making some really dumb decisions, and they're not doing it on behalf of you, the people. Trump ran to transfer power from Washington back to you, the people, not from one party to another, not with his old boy network cronyism BS. And that's what we're dealing with. And we've been dealing with this for so long, Leonora.
Yeah, we have been.
Think back all the way. I've been feeling anxiety because I love this guy. I love Trump. I love what he's done for America. I love what he stands for. I mean, there's so many things I love about this guy. For better or for worse, you know what?
He's authentic.
Some of the best Americans have been colorful people, right? What? Yogi Berra, right?
Exactly.
Whatever. You could just go on down the list. Everybody. Frank Sinatra did it his way, right? Those were American, great Americans who beat to their own drum, right? And so we finally got some Winston Churchill-esque, Reagan-esque. Finally, we got somebody that can stand out alone and lead like a boss, like a chairman of the board, and they want to crucify this guy.
Well, if you recall, Scott, they did the same exact thing to Reagan.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the biggest beef I have with it. I mean, we, and I know our listeners do, and I do, we should feel lucky that we have such a powerful, colorful, dynamic, unpredictable leader who
and
loves our
competent.
Country.
Add the word competent.
Yeah, but
I
not
mean,
to
talk about
the
economy, talk about the foreign relations, talk about national security. He has so many tangible accomplishments. Every single time people try to take him down, so you object to his form and function. You know, that doesn't dispute the accomplishments that are on the plate now.
Well, and yeah, his success story has been so great. But we've been dealing with this for so long.
Trump has
ever
been
since
attacked
the broker
since he walked.
Convention.
Even before, Scott, the minute he came down the escalator, he was attacked.
Right.
People
they said
it's
a joke. It's never going to happen.
No, they thought it was a branding.
He's doing his publicity stunt.
Speaking of publicity stunts, can I ask you if you know who the new Time Person of the Year is?
You told me. Okay, so that's you're just asking me that question for the audience, but I know, but I'm not. I'm going to say I didn't know before you told me.
All right, drum roll, please. Greta Thunberg is the Time Person of the Year, and there is a cover on Time, which is kind of like it almost looks like it's animated, and she's standing on, I guess it's a boat or something, and there's water, and she's got these eyes that are staring out at everybody, and she says, "We can't just continue living as if there was no tomorrow."
You know,
we're not
Barack
doing the British
Obama.
Accent right, because there is a tomorrow.
Oh, she has a very theatrical voice,
and she said, "That is all we are saying." Again,
it's all we are saying.
I got to call this. This is almost child abuse. Okay, let's call it for what it is. We've got this girl out there with all these tons of Twitter followers who's being put up there as some type of emblem of the social justice warriors. And I think she's being used. I really
well,
feel
not
this
had
kid,
a serious debate. It's
I
been
really
always
feel
a,
this 16-year-old child
they're
is
using
being
this
used
face,
by the liberals.
And she's a very cute girl. She gets up there. She has this very interesting accent. She has this dramatic appeal about her.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right? And they're just using her like a rented mule and to make a point. And yet, if they really wanted to, put it to the test, have a debate about it. Have a good, honest debate. You know who I would put? Someone nobody knows. Big Joe Biscardi. Big Joe Biscardi has been a weatherman. He believes in the whole cyclical thing. He doesn't claim to know exactly what the man-made impact is on climate, whatever. But the thing is that this is not settled science, like people say. And in fact, in Hershey, the Hershey rally with Trump, he was talking about windmills, and he was talking about it's going to be 1/8 higher water, blah, blah, blah. And truth is really in the pudding. The best argument I heard was this guy had a really foul mouth, actually. Said the F-bomb like crazy, right? But some woman asked him a question in Great Britain, and he was this guy, just, you know, real CEO boss kind of guy, almost like a mobster. And you wouldn't think, okay, this guy's like a scientist on climate change. He asked this question that was so crystallizing about climate change. And he said, you know, do you think the banks are morons? You know, do you think that, you know, he was asking this question like in a certain kind of way.
You talking to me?
Yeah, yeah. He was that guy. And so, you know, he made a really good point. Do you think that the banks would literally finance trillions of dollars in coastline properties around the world? We're not just talking about Florida. We're talking about Norway. We're talking about Spain. We're talking about Portugal. We're mm-hmm. talking about the Mediterranean. We're talking about all this great property all around the world, in Asia and everywhere else. And guess what? Banks are spending more money today than ever before on coastline property. Trillions and trillions of dollars. I can't get the name. You know, it could be gazillions of dollars, okay? If that's even
enough. Is gazillion a number, really?
I don't know. But they're spending a lot of money on a global scale on coastline properties to the impact that, you know, even the Obamas, the grand poobah of climate change, bought a $15 million house in Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, ridiculous.
By the way, just one other thing. You know, we just got off eight years of Obama where he hated America and made terrible trade deals and sent jobs overseas. You know what? I don't know why people want to save this guy or protect his legacy. He has none left, actually. But, you know, the juxtaposition or the polarization or the two ends of the spectrum could be any farther apart than Donald Trump and Barack Obama, and I'm happy
for
it.
Want a piece of the Scott Adams Show and Red State Talk Radio billboard in Times Square and be part of the excitement? For a limited time, we are now offering a 25% reward to anyone who refers a one-minute annual sponsor to our Times Square billboard. Need extra cash? How about putting an extra $600 in your pocket each month for the next 12 months? Or earn more by co-opting a one-minute per hour ad spot with our four 15-second ad partners? All you have to do is tell a friend or colleague about our unique and affordable billboard opportunity, where we offer billboard space at discounted rates, and we will take care of the rest, from art design to photographs and video of your billboard ad. Billboard advertising offers the best bang for the buck, and our billboard puts you in Times Square only a half a block away from the New Year's Eve ball drop, exposing your brand to millions of people and putting you on top. Visit thescottadamsshow.com and click on the Advertise tab to learn more about this terrific opportunity to promote, save, and win. Call 215-592-1600 now to learn more about the great opportunities of billboard advertising. That's 215-592-1600. Call today.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. So we got a lot going on today. We got Horowitz going to be giving some testimony today all over the place. It's going to be significant. I think that we're going to learn a lot more about what Horowitz is all about. It's kind of interesting that, you know, Trump called out he said it contemporaneously, which was interesting. I caught it. And it was basically that he was throwing Christopher Wray under the bus, because Christopher Wray is taking the report and acting like the FBI is clean. There's no way in heck that the FBI is not driven by political bias. No way. No way in heck. I mean, you got 17. And when Barr was asked this question, because Bill Barr, we're going to get to Bill Barr here in this segment. Bill Barr, man, he gave a Wall Street Journal interview that was very significant. Then he gave an interview with Harwood over at MSNBC. And the left, the liberals on social media, their heads are exploding. They want to impeach Barr. They do. I'm telling you, Barr just like a boss, you know, just basically started talking about the truth. But there's so much information that's going to be coming out. There's this Franklin Templeton deal where a lot of Republicans are going to go down, and a lot of independents like Joe Lieberman is being exposed. He's gone. Orrin Hatch resigned. But you wonder, hey, why did you resign? Were you sick? And in some cases, like Orrin Hatch, you go to Open Secrets and you find out some of the donations related to Franklin Templeton. And what you're going to find is that there's a hashtag going on related to Franklin Templeton and the corruption and BlackRock investments that's going to be big. And what Durham is finding, I think, is going to be significant. And already, I think, Barr has let the cat out of the bag as to covering for Horowitz, who I think, if you listen to Trump, Trump even threw Horowitz under the bus. And he said, and he threw Chris Ray under the bus in the Hershey rally. And I heard it. And so basically he said, Horowitz was an Obama appointment. And he found these things. Basically he's as bad as it gets. And he even found these things. It's kind of the way it was put down there, right? But there's more. There's a lot more. Basically, Bill Barr said this. I'm going to get to a Bill Barr clip that I just think is pretty powerful. And let's see if we can get this clip up. We've been having some technical difficulties today, but here we go.
Do you still stand by your statement that the campaign was spied upon?
Well, it's clearly spied upon. I mean, that's what electronic surveillance is. I think wiring people up to go in and talk to people and make recordings of their conversations is spying. I think going through people's emails, which they did as a result of the FISA warrant, they went through everything, from Page's life.
Because he wasn't in the campaign at the point where began the surveillance.
Yes, but his emails go back. I mean, the main reason they were going for the FISA warrant initially was to go back historically and seize all his emails and texts and all that stuff from back months and even years. So they were covering the period that he was in the campaign, and that's exactly the reason they went for the FISA, to get that stuff.
So what do you think, what questions will John Durham address that the IG didn't so far?
All right, so what's significant about that statement that Barr just made is extremely significant. Because what it is they went in and investigated Carter Page for none other reason but to go back into his emails and try to dig up dirt on the campaign and find some infraction of some sort going retroactively. And that is the significant part of this whole thing. That's the significant part. And let's see. I'm digging up something right now, and then we're also going to talk about what Rudy Giuliani is going to bring up. And I can't find what I'm looking for actually. In any case, yeah, let's see. Well, okay. I can't find it. But I'll find it over the break and then share it with you. But basically, it's that they spied on Carter Page for one reason, to get dirt on the Trump campaign. And they did that retroactively. They did that, going backwards. Now, I want to play like yet another clip. Right here, let's see.
Do you still stand by your statement that the campaign was spied upon?
Well, it's clearly spied upon. I mean, that's what electronic surveillance.
That's not the clip. Let's see. I had all these queued up. I don't have them queued up right now, and it's hard to get them re-queued up under a live show. But I'm not going to be able to pull that one off. So you got Barr, right? So Barr is giving one statement after another. And what's interesting about it is the part that is most interesting about Durham, and it's something I've been saying routinely, and that is that Horowitz is limited to just, the Department of Justice. Interestingly enough, too, and the FBI. But interestingly enough, Lisa Page is now suing the government, the DOJ and the FBI,
yes,
because she's claiming sexual harassment. So in Hershey, for example, Trump said Strzok had a restraining order against it. He says, I heard this. I don't know if it's true, but I've heard it, right? And it sounds like it's probably true. And that is that Strzok needed a restraining order to keep away from Lisa Page.
But you know what Lisa Page said? This was interesting with regard to her suit. She said that Donald Trump, in one of the earlier rallies, was simulating an orgasm between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok.
I've seen every Trump rally.
I have too. No, all he said was, oh, Lisa, I love you so much. Oh, Peter, I love you so much. That's not an orgasm. Okay.
No, it's embarrassing, but you know.
It's embarrassing, but
hey,
yes.
Look, Lisa Page, got news for you. You lose the arrogance on your open Twitter. It's not helping your case.
Right.
You claim you're a lawyer. But here's Lisa Page. Now whining and complaining, she's suing the government that she's helped, you know, tear apart. And she's doing this because they need to pay for her therapy fees. She's damaged. She needs therapy now, is what she said. Do you believe that?
No.
That's crazy.
Well, here's the thing. If you're concerned about this type of thing, don't have an affair with one of your colleagues, or as I keep saying, don't fake an affair with one of your colleagues and get found out and use government-issued devices to text the colleague.
Right. Absolutely. And so Bill Barr gave a really great set of analysis. He made liberals' heads explode. And like I was saying, the Horowitz Report is very limited in scope. It cannot issue grand juries and things like that. So it just talks about these infractions. And that's what you're going to hear today, are these infractions. But don't get lost in all of this, because there is a lot of good things that are happening here. Because he's got the dots and he's putting them on the map. And as I've been saying, I've been giving this analogy, you know, whether it's the bank robber, the getaway car, and a murder ensues, you're now accessory to murder. Or, you know, with JFK's assassination, the slow turn on Elm Street, Secret Service missed that. Secret Service missed the glass top back on the car. The Secret Service missed the open window in the book depository. And all three of those independently, Horowitz would say, that happens. And, you know, Comey, to the point that I've been making for weeks now about that, Comey came out in a tweet and said, or in his op-ed, and he said that humans make mistakes. So he's already hiding behind this cloak of, we're fallible humans. We make mistakes on the job, but you know, I show up to work on time. I do my job to the best of my ability. I'm a patriot for my country. I'm defending it against the Russian bear. And Trump got caught up in the crossfire, and sure, we made mistakes. That's exactly what Comey's saying. That's his argument. That's his defense.
But he's admitting that
he's
made a mistake.
He's hiding behind his title.
But the key thing here is he's admitting he made a mistake.
Yeah, but here's the problem. A mistake on the job is just a mistake. You already got fired. What else is there?
Right.
Is it a crime?
Well, as he would say, 3 years ago, it goes to intent.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But and he's going to say he didn't intend. He's going to use that argument.
Right.
Just like he did for Hillary. And the other thing is, Hunter Biden getting a job because his last name's Biden isn't necessarily a crime either.
No, it isn't. But it's just what type of job and whether he's in a position to influence other countries.
Right. And in addition to that, there's the case that you can make that says that where Durham comes in, Durham is going to basically put the dots together. He's going to put the dots together and he's going to say, okay, these dots alone aren't crimes by themselves, independently of everything else. But when we put the dots together, like the three Secret Service people on the day that JFK was shot, if they were colluding together with, you know, correspondents to try to pull off this assassination, now you got a conspiracy to commit murder. You got a murder. You got the overthrow of a government attempt, and all this treasonous behavior. So there, then you have the bigger problem of the conspiracy to commit treason against the country. That's a whole different ball of wax. That's what Durham and Barr can do with the dots that Horowitz is laying out before you today. And we're going to take this to a break.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And, you know, one of the other things that's happening is Rudy Giuliani is coming out of the woodwork. And this week he's scheduled. I always kind of thought that he was going to do his delivery of his findings about Joe Biden after the Horowitz hearing. And in some way, you know, Lindsey Graham's got to be careful because he's covering up for Biden. We know that. He's covering up for Biden. He's covering up for Schiff. Schiff and Lindsey Graham have been the benefactors of Igor Pasternak's donations. They say that Schiff is caught up in this Franklin Templeton thing. Also, you got the Bidens that more and more information is starting to come out. Thanks in large part to what Giuliani is doing, because the government's not sanctioning anything. And in fact, one of the interesting things that Barr said was that he hasn't looked into Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I think what it was because the reason why that was the case is because he did not want the conflict of interest. He thought that it would be the best thing for President Donald Trump. So Giuliani, then you hear Giuliani, everybody's distancing themselves from Giuliani. And the reason why they're doing that is because Giuliani is suggesting that he's running as his own person, that he's not even getting paid by the president to do the things he's doing. Mm-hmm. And they're entitled to that secrecy or that privacy in terms of this whole pay to play. If I pay an attorney to go and do something, that's an attorney-client privilege. Whatever is discussed between me and my attorney and my strategy to protect myself, my family, and the attacks that are going against me in an unlimited fashion. I mean, there's no limit to the amount of money that we're going to that's going against Trump. In addition to all that, you know, you got this big nothing burger, one nothing burger after another, right? The brokered convention, the spying and wiretapping. One of the things that's come to light in very clear fashion is that Mueller had nothing. Mm-hmm. That Mueller knew very soon after, he knew immediately, because mm-hmm. everybody that was involved knew that this was all mm-hmm. a hoax. It's not that he didn't know from day one that this was all a fake investigation. And I think that what Barr and Durham are going to reveal is they're not going to know what Mueller was doing. And Rod Rosenstein's going to have some explaining to do. Mm-hmm. And I believe that a lot of this is going to come to light. So these people keep digging their grave. And I think that Lindsey Graham is no exception. And Adam Schiff also has something to hide. There's no way you can impeach a guy without knowing who the witness is, what they said, and knowing that they lied and manipulated the facts and doctored the forms and changed the rules and then changed them again, not letting you have any witnesses, not letting you face your accuser. I mean, all this stuff is just insanely ridiculous. Every American knows it. But, you know, until we actually make a lesson out of it, I can't imagine this. I can't imagine that I'm 50% of society and I happen to be a Democrat. Let's just say, never been a Democrat. I despise what Democrats stand for. But let's just make believe mm-hmm. that I'm somehow a Democrat. There's no way I could support what's going on in this nonsense, rainbow, unicorn, whatever it is that they're doing. I remember having these debates with a liberal buddy of mine. When Obama got elected. And I just tried to keep an upper chin and I tried to keep an open mind and I tried to have a civil conversation with him about, you know, Obama. And then I'd ask questions, you know, like, what about Obama and Reverend Wright? What about Obama? You know, like, and all this, these crazy weather underground connections and stuff like that. I mean, it seems like he hates America and socialism doesn't seem to work and blah, blah, blah. We'd have these conversations, but nowhere was I going to deny the guy his right to whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, Obama would do one thing maybe. You know, maybe he did something. I'd say, no, that's not too bad.
Every once in a while.
Like,
we could give him an attaboy once in a while.
I have to agree with him on that. So the point is that there's got to be 20, 5% of the Democrat, the Democrats that once represented 50% of society, that's got to be chipped into. I think that 20% of that's lost, I just because of the sheer nonsense of the impeachment and these endless investigations and the Congress issuing more subpoenas than legislation. But I want to quickly, before we get out of this, before we run out of time, is it says, wow, OAN. Now, OAN did a really great interview with Giuliani and a bunch of other players. Stunning Lutsenko interview, who basically said that Yovanovitch and George Kent committed perjury, and they gave him a black ledger list, or they gave him a list, and said, these are the people that you cannot investigate. And he tore the list up in front of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, he tore it up. But what's happening now is Giuliani will make report on Ukraine to Attorney General and Congress, Trump says. So the president, so what's happening is Barr, in his statements yesterday, was basically saying, I haven't touched Ukraine. But that's because Giuliani's doing it. He says, I haven't worked with Giuliani. And he says, I'm not messing around with Durham either. And they call him Bull Durham, right? And so it's kind of like this independent thing, because they know that if anybody touches any piece of this investigation, the right. media and the Democrats are going to try to like spin it like it's a conspiracy to overthrow a political candidate and meddle in the 2020 election. I mean, that's their cockamamie story, right? Right. So they have to actually say, no, we're not touching any of this stuff. So Giuliani's doing his business with the Bidens. Durham is doing his business with Spygate and the CIA and all their malfeasance. And together, all these things are starting to come out. And Horowitz is just the appetizer. Mm-hmm. And again, Horowitz is only the dots on the map. It's going to be Durham and Giuliani that are going to help connect these dots together and make it a much, much more sinister plot. But President Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, will make a report to Congress and Attorney General Barr about the findings from his recent meetings with former Ukraine officials, according to the president. Well, I just know he came back from someplace, and he's going to make a report, I think, to the Attorney General and to Congress, Trump said, outside the White House on December 7th in response to a question about Giuliani's trip to Europe. He says he has a lot of good information. I have not spoken to him about the information. Yeah, he's not allowed to speak to his own attorney because that'll get him in trouble, right? Right. But he trusts Giuliani enough.
Well, of course, he should trust somebody who he's employed as his attorney and somebody he's known for many, many years. I mean, that would make sense.
Right. So in any case, Undercover Huber was the person that I was trying to reference. And, you know, he's made some fantastic points. But he says this about Chris Steele. He says, bad news for Chris Steele, Kathleen Kavlik, and especially Victoria Nuland. The IG report confirms at least one of you is lying about your meeting at the State Department in October 2016. And I guarantee you, it's not Kathleen Kavlik.
I don't think so.
We happen to know somebody who knows her. And the point is that Victoria Nuland is the one that's in big trouble. So I can tell you right there from some inside information, Victoria Nuland is going to be a very big reveal after the day is through today. Stay tuned for all of this and more. We'll see you next time on the radio. My name is Scott Adams.
My name is Leonore Crivetta.
You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. We'll see you next time.
Town in Tennessee, a long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mountain's getting steeper. I grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.